Gretchen Wolfley loves to travel the world looking for stories. She has lived in the Himalayas and on a tiny island in the Pacific Ocean. Her stories come from Holland, England, and Bolivia. Sometimes she writes about subjects that she just wants to learn more about, and sometimes she writes what she sees around her. And sometimes she even makes up her own stories. Let's settle in to listen to this author read from one of her books.
My name is Gretchen Wolfley, and I wrote the book Animal Families, Animal Friends, with beautiful illustrations by Robert Heinz. If you take this book out of the library, you'll be able to look at his pictures while you read my words. Animal Families, Animal Friends by Gretchen Wolfley, illustrated by Robert Heinz. People like to live together and help each other. Our parents make a home for us. They play with us and teach us many things. Grandparents, aunts, uncles, and cousins are part of our family, too. We make friends with our neighbors and children at school. Animals have parents, families, and neighbors, just like we do. And like us, they often live together and help each other. Animal parents. Mother and father beaver work together to build a home for their family. They use their long teeth to chop down trees. Then they pile the trees in a stream to make a beaver lodge. The lodge is half underwater and half above water. There, beaver babies live with their parents for 2 years. Then they find a mate, build a new lodge, and raise their own families. Emperor penguins live in Antarctica, the coldest place on Earth. After mother penguin lays an egg, father holds it on his feet and covers it with a flap of feathered skin to keep it warm. Thousands of father penguins huddle together for warmth. They stand for 2 months without eating or drinking until their chicks hatch. Then mother and father penguin take turns keeping their chick warm and hunting for food. Mother dolphin feeds her baby milk. She swims beside him and tucks him under her flipper when they sleep. Father penguin teaches his baby how to behave. When little dolphins play too roughly, bump into grown-ups, or wake them up, father claps his mouth shut to make a loud noise. He means, stop that. If his child does not obey, father dolphin nips his tail. Mother and father loon build a nest together. After mother lays one or two eggs, father may build extra nests to fool their enemies about where the loons live. Mother and father take turns sitting on the eggs. After the chicks are born, both parents teach them to swim, dive, and catch fish. The baby loons ride on their parents' backs. They find a cozy seat right between the wings. Animal families. Wolf families live together in packs. Father is the leader and decides where to hunt, when to rest, and where to travel. Everyone in the pack, mother, father, brothers, sisters, and even adopted wolves, helps to take care of the pups. They protect the pups from danger. They hunt for food for them. They babysit for them. The older wolves let the pups chew their tails, knock them over, and nip their muzzles. This rough play helps the pups learn how to hunt. Grandmother elephant leads her daughters and grandchildren to find food and water. Grandmother makes sure that her family behaves properly, especially the young ones. The mothers in the herd take turns babysitting for the calves. A nursing mother feeds any hungry baby with her milk. When aunts and cousins return from a trip, The herd welcomes them with loud trumpeting calls. They flap their ears, turn around in circles, and twist their trunks together. It's a gigantic family reunion. Canada geese travel with their relatives twice a year. In the fall, they migrate south to a warmer climate, where food is plentiful in winter. Dozens of young geese, parents, grandparents, aunts, uncles, and cousins fly high in the sky in a long V. They stop each night to hunt for food and rest together. When they reach their winter home, the young leave their parents and live on their own. In the spring, they gather together again to fly north for the summer. Honeybees live in a hive. The queen lays eggs, and she is the mother of all the other bees. Her hundreds of sons, called drones, do not do any work. Her thousands of daughters, called worker bees, care for the queen and the tiny baby larvae. They also build the honeycomb and keep it clean. Then they leave the hive and fly around the neighborhood, collecting flower pollen and nectar to make honey for their brothers and sisters and their mother, the queen. Animal communities. Large herds of caribou live in the far north. They eat small plants that grow on the tundra. Caribou live together because it is easier to find food that way. They also protect each other from wolves and bears. If the herd is attacked, the young ones gather in the middle of a circle. The strongest caribou stay at the edge, ready to fight with sharp antlers and strong hooves. All day long, robins fly through the air alone, catching insects and worms to eat. But in the evening, they gather together in trees by the hundreds to sing. These concerts give young robins a chance to learn the songs they will use to find a mate. When the singing lesson is over, robins go to sleep, side by side. Prairie dog towns contain many families, each living in an underground burrow. Prairie dog families greet each other with kisses and love pats. When they see danger coming, they bark to warn the whole town. They give a loud cry, and everyone scrambles home and scurries underground. Chimpanzees live with their family and friends. When one of them finds a fig tree filled with ripe fruit, the chimp will hoot and holler and invite everyone to share the feast. Chimps spend hours each day grooming each other by gently combing and cleaning each other's fur. Every night, they build new sleeping nests in the trees. Mothers and babies sleep together, with friends and relatives nearby. Like the animals, we work and play together too. We have family parties on special days. We take trips with our relatives. We help our neighbors. And when the day is over and we go home again, we feel good about just being together. My name is Gretchen Wolfley, and I wrote the book Katya the Windmill Cat. The beautiful illustrations were done by Nicola Bailey, and I hope you'll have a chance to take the book out of the library and look at her beautiful pictures. Katya the Windmill Cat by Gretchen Wolfley, illustrated by Nicola Bailey. Katya had an easy life. She lived with Nico the miller in a Dutch village by the sea. While Nico ground grain in his windmill, Katya chased mice. Up and down the ladder she prowled, searching behind sacks of grain and along beams dusty with flour.
"Every miller needs a cat like Katya," Nico told the villagers who came to buy his flour.
At night, Katja slept on a soft pillow beside Nico. On Sundays, they walked along the dike that protected the village from the sea. Katja chased seagulls. Nico watched for storms. One morning, Nico didn't follow Katja to the mill. He put on his best suit and walked to town. In the evening, he came back with a young woman on his arms. She wore a fine dress and carried a bunch of flowers. Nico carried a bright copper kettle, a bundle of dresses, and a brand new broom. "It's a plain house, Lena," Nico said shyly. "It's perfect," Lena said, "just right for a miller and his wife." That night, when Katja jumped into bed, she found Lena lying on her pillow. "Meow," whined Katja. Nico picked her up. "Run along, Katja." "Meow," insisted Katja. Nico closed the curtains around the bed. "Meow," complained Katja even louder. The curtains remained closed, and Katja slept in the kitchen. The next day, Lena began to sweep. She swept the house, she swept the path to the mill. She even swept flower dust from Nico when he came home at night. "Take off your wooden shoes before you walk into the house," Lena scolded. Nico stepped out of his shoes and kissed her. He left a big white smudge on her cheek. Katja crept past them. She wouldn't let Lena sweep her. But Katja left a trail of white paw prints, and Lena saw them. "Shoo, Katja," she cried. "You're too dusty." Life wasn't easy anymore. One day, Katja woke to the sign of sawing. "I'm making a cradle," Nico said. Lena laid a soft quilt inside. That night, Katja jumped into the cradle and curled up on the quilt. Soon, a baby called Annika was born in the little house by the windmill. She was small and pink, and she slept in the cradle. Katja didn't mind. There was room enough for both of them. But Lena said, "Shoo, Katja, you'll make Annika sneeze." Katja played with Annika when Lena wasn't looking. Katja batted the ribbons on the cradle. Annika waved her arms. Katja wriggled under the quilt. Annika kicked her legs. Katja jumped from side to side and set the cradle rocking. Annika giggled, and Katja meowed. This was more fun than chasing mice. But when Lena heard them, she said, "Shoo, Katja, you'll tip over the cradle." Katja walked across the room and stopped by the door. Lena didn't call her back. So Katja left the house and moved into the windmill. At night, she curled up on empty flour sacks and dreamed of soft quilts. Nico brought her a bowl of milk every evening. "Come home, Katja. We miss you." Katja wouldn't go home with Nico. But sometimes, when everyone was sleeping, she crept back home and gently rocked the cradle while Annika slept. One afternoon, dark clouds gathered overhead. The wind howled and rain pounded against the windmill. "We've been through many storms, haven't we?" Nico said, scratching Katja's head. Katja purred. The windmill sails whirled and the great millstones turned. "I won't have a minute's rest till the wind dies down," Nico said. He had to keep grinding the grain between the millstones. If the stones rubbed together, the sparks could start a fire. Katja rubbed against Nico's leg. She would work for as long as he did. Nico hoisted heavy bags of grain to the top of the mill and watched the wheat pour down to the millstones. Katja ran up and down the ladder and round the mill. She looked for mice who might sneak in from the storm. All night long the wind roared, the windmill shook, and the millstones groaned. When morning finally came, the door flew open, and Lena came in with a basket of bread and herring for Nico's breakfast. Katja dashed to the house to see Annika. A crowd of villagers ran down the road. "The dike has broken! The sea is flooding the town!" Church bells clanged. Water rushed into the house. Katja jumped on Annika's cradle. Lena and Nico waded out of the mill as the cradle swept out of the house. "Annika!" cried Lena.
"I'll get the boat," yelled Nico.
Katja and Annika raced through the streets. Furniture, wagons, and even houses swirled by. Some villagers stood on rooftops. Others climbed up the dike. "There's a cradle! I pray there's no baby in it. It's sure to capsize." A wagon wheel whirled past and set the cradle spinning. "Look, there's Katja. It's Annika's cradle." The cradle tipped back and forth, but Katja jumped from side to side and kept Annika safe. Finally, the cradle bumped against the dike. The boat bumped next to it. "Dear Annika," cried Nico as he plucked her from the cradle. "Darling Katja," cried Lena, hugging her tightly.
"Meow," said Katja.
Annika soon grew too big for her cradle, so Katja slept there on a soft quilt that Lena made just for her. Katja had a busy life. In the morning, she played with Annika. All day, she chased mice in the windmill. And when she came home at night, she always remembered to lick her paws before she stepped into the house. Author's note. On November 5th, 1421, St. Elizabeth's Day, a violent storm blew in from the North Sea, breaking through the dikes and flooding a small village in South Holland. Katja the Windmill Cat is based on a true story of the Elizabeth's Day flood. A cat and a little baby did live through that terrible flood. After the storm, the villagers built a bigger, stronger dike to hold back the sea. They moved their houses and the windmill to the top of the dike so the village would never be flooded again. The villagers named the new dike the Kinderdijk, which means children's dike in Dutch, to honor the baby who was saved by the brave cat. Today, 19 windmills still line the Kinderdijk. Visitors can ride down the canal alongside the windmills and go inside to see how they work. Hello, I'm Gretchen Wolfley, and I want to tell you that even though I'm a grown-up, I still love going to my local library. Sometimes I know exactly what books I want to get, and sometimes I just browse the shelves looking for books, books on tape, or DVDs. So check out your library. I'll bet you'll find some wonderful surprises too.